we're starting a new series. We're going to go all the way to October 20th. And October 20th, we're going to have an open house, literally an open house. We're going to train people to stay after service, and we're going to give people tours. We're going to show people what's going on. We're going to talk to them about our kids' church, about our worship, about our small groups, about all the stuff we do, everything we do. And we're going to invite the whole community just to come and say, because, you know, there's all kinds of people who want to know, what do they do over there? What's going on over there? And so we're going to do that on purpose. We're going to put cards in your hands and stuff that you can take so that wherever you are, you can hand out and say, our church is having an open house. And who doesn't like an open house? You know, sometimes when lunch wasn't that good and Cheryl didn't provide that much, I go out to open houses. Anybody found a couple of realtors that have really good open houses? You know, I see a couple names. I see like Glenn and Ingrid. I see their name on. I go there. That's a good open house. Some people, they got like sandwiches and good stuff. And I go back to them 3 or 4 weeks. They say, are you still looking? I said, I am. I'm looking for the mustard. That's what I'm looking for. Who doesn't love an open house? But we're going to have an open house. And we're gonna open our hearts to the community. And we want everyone. You see, our mission is to let every person in London experience the presence of God. Everyone in St. Thomas to experience the presence of God. Delaware, Dorchester, all around. We want this whole community, we want them to experience. That's our goal. That's our mission, is to let everyone get exposed to, encounter, and live out of that glorious, wonderful presence of God. So we got to remove every single obstacle to that. We want every person, whatever the obstacles are, we want to tear them apart. Because how many know His presence is so good, and the Father's house is so good. So I'm going to talk to you for the next few weeks about open house, and when Jesus is in the house, we're going to talk about the Father's house. Proverbs 9:1 says, wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out her 7 pillars. And don't get weird about the she and the her and all that. It's okay. But wisdom is, if you look at the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, wisdom is capitalized everywhere in there. And it says, wisdom is Jesus. I love chapter 9. It talks about, there I was before Him, creating everything and laying all out. It says, there I was, rejoicing in His presence. And it talks about wisdom and how Jesus interacts with the Father. And there's this one really neat word. It's called misophake. And that's the Hebrew word, misophake. And misophake, he was rejoicing. He was spending time rejoicing in front of His Father. And misophake can also be translated to tell a joke. It's a true story. What's Jesus doing in front of the Father? Have you heard this one? It's a good one. Carl told it last week in church. It was awesome. You know, there's a lot of fun. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be smart. I want to stay smart. And we moved down to Lambeth there, and I look around, walk around, try to get to know the neighborhood. You know, people are all into this stuff. Eh? Like, there's a lot of you know, place where you can go and get all dolled up, and you get this waxed and that waxed, and you can get these herbs and those things and have a piece of that and a piece of that, and that'll make your skin seem better and this and that. But I saw something said will make you smarter. I said, well, that I like right there. And I went in and said, what's the make you smarter one? I want that. I said, well, it's actually, if you buy these fish heads and you mix these fish heads in your meals and you do this for a while, you'll actually get smarter. And I went, well, you know what? No pain, no gain. So, I mean, hey. So, I got some fish heads, mixed them in my stuff, and went at that. You know, I went back and said, I don't know if this is working real good. You know, said, well, you just started. You need to stay with this. You need to. So, you know what? They were $2 a piece. They were $4 a piece. $4. So, I said, you know what? Okay, I'll take 20. So, I got 20 fish heads. I went through the fish heads, and you know, after all of that, after going through the 20 fish heads, I went back and said, I really don't know if this is really making me smarter. Well, thank you very much. Was my tongue getting stuck to my teeth? Really? You can tell that. So I went back, I said, listen, I don't know if this is working, but I'll tell you one thing. I found out that these fish that you're using, they're fish heads. I found that this same fish, I can get the whole fish for $2 down the road at the butcher. And you know what she said? See, it's working. You're getting smarter already. Jesus, tell the Father that one. That was all right. Tell him that one. That was a good one. Amen. wisdom has built her house and hewn out her seven pillars. We're going to talk about pillars. We're going to talk about the things that are built into the house of God to make it beautiful and make it function. Matthew 16, 18 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I will build my church. Jesus is, he wills it, he's doing it, he's working on it, he's building his church, and the gates of hell, which are stationary, they don't move, you will not get attacked by a gate. Has anybody been attacked by a gate? I did have a gate once that's open it, you had to kick it, because it was just stuck, and you had to kick it. I got attacked by that gate a few times. But anyways, gates are stationary, and they're not going to withstand the advance of the church. So he's building his church, and the church is going to kick in the gates of hell and bring the glory of God to planet Earth. Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ, as his son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house." We are God's house, and we want all of London and all of southwestern Ontario and Windsor. I know you're watching in Windsor. We want all of this southwestern Ontario region that they expose to the Father's house. So we're going to have an open house because we want everybody in. Amen? Who's tracking with me? Who's following me? Three people. All right. Galatians 6:10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." Amen? Do good to everyone. "And especially to those who are of the household of faith." There's two groups of people. There's everyone, and then there's that special group, the household of faith. We got to take care of our people. Ephesians 3:10, "For this is God's purpose." God's purpose in all, it always was. Beautiful. I love the book of Ephesians. Genesis is not the book of beginnings. Ephesians is the book of beginnings. Genesis tells you what was seen, what happened in the outer realm, but Ephesians tells you what was in God's heart before anything was ever done, before a word was spoken, before he said, "Let there be light." You see the intentions and the eternal purposes of God in Ephesians. And he says, this is it. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. The church is not some temporal thing. It isn't some idea that popped up, you know, well, we got to reach some people, so let's do a church. It was always God's purpose that the church is the eternal purpose of God, and the church, the called out ones, his family, is forever and forever. The church, it's always been his purpose to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in London. No, in heavenly places. The church is called to bring the whole cosmos into order. The church is born so that through us, and he's not going to do it any other way. God is through the church walking in revelation and understanding. We're speaking to the powers of the air. We're commanding all things to align and subject them to the reign and the rule of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, I've been preaching some places, and I'm preaching. You might be in the room listening to me, but right now I'm declaring things, and I'm speaking to thrones, and I'm speaking in dominions. I'm casting down, and I'm setting up, and I'm shifting the whole environment over this region. You know, that's what we are called to do. We're not called to get saved and then wait till God gets us out of this mess. We're here to take over. That's who we are. That's who we are. Amen. John Wesley said, "You must find companions or you must make them." The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. It's us. It's a corporate body. You weren't called to Jesus as an individual, although you are. You are an individual with individual gifts and callings, but all those things that God's placed in you are for others, and they're for engagement, and they're so that corporately we can all grow and we can all manifest everything God wants for us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at something in Mark chapter 2, but I want to preface it by Mark chapter 1, 37. One little part of this verse. I love the book of Mark because it's like a race. It's like, boom, he starts right off and he's like just a motorboat going through, you know, the life of Christ and talking about it. It's just fast. It's fast. It's fast. You start reading Mark, you can't put it down to a stop because it's fast. It's like an action movie. It's like Bruce Willis saving the world again. Woo! Settle down. But I love this. It says, everyone is looking for you. I mean, he went about healing, delivering, setting people free, preaching, declaring the kingdom. Lives were being transformed. Regions were being touched. And Peter comes back and says, where you been? Jesus left them early. He went away to pray. And they woke up and, where'd he go? And they came running. And Peter said, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? Everyone is looking for you. I feel that right now, don't you? I believe right now there's something going on in the spirit, and there's people are hungry for something. They know there's got to be more than this, and everybody is looking for you. Yes, it's Sean is happy in the front row. Everyone is looking for you. I love that. So let's race right into Mark chapter 2. It says, and what I love about that is everyone is looking for you. I mean, we're having great meetings down here. Things are going really, really well. So many people are being touched and healed. And Jesus said, well, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to another city. Let's go to another place. Let's make God famous somewhere else. And again, he entered Capernaum, and he was there after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. It was heard that he was in the house. So we want to have an open house because we want everybody to hear he's in the house. I mean, that's really, if he's not in the house, we might as well be the Kiwanis Club or some other thing or the YMCA. The thing that is different between us and every other crowd is Jesus is here. He's present. He's mighty. He's right here. And you see, when Jesus is in the place, everybody gonna hear about it. Everybody. It was heard that he was in the house. Why do you go to that Impact Church? What are you doing over there? What's going on? He's in the house. I go because when we gather corporately, there's an acceleration of his presence. And I tell you, nothing is impossible. Miracles take place. Lives get transformed. I'll tell you, he's in the house. He's in the house. Look what it says. When they heard he was in the house, immediately many people gathered. When they heard he was in the house, immediately many people gathered together. So there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? How many can see when we literally do have to one day take over the Budweiser Center just to do church? Because there's just not enough room. Can anybody see that? I mean, I'm telling you. I tell you, just boom. Immediately, many gathered together, so there's no longer any room. So what do we got? What do we got? Well, we're having an open house. What is it where God's presence is? His house, what is it like? It's a place where crowds gather. It's a place where crowds gather. His presence is important at Impact Church. He draws a crowd. When we remove the obstacles to people encountering Jesus, we're going to see many, many people in the house. Because his presence is available. He's made it available. It's our responsibility to remove all the objections, remove all the hindrances, and let people experience Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about some of that. So look what it says. It says then, and then it says, and he preached the word to them. He preached the word to them. So when he's in the house, the word is going to get preached. When Jesus went around, he preached the word. Jesus made a big deal of the word. The anointed proclamation of the word is the same as a personal encounter with Jesus. Let me say that again, because I want you to get this. The proclamation of his word, an anointed proclamation of the Rhema of God, is exactly the same as you having a personal meeting with Jesus. Let me say it again, because I don't think you understand. I wish I could have a face-to-face with Jesus. Let me say this then. The preaching of the word is the same as you having a face-to-face with Jesus. What did Jesus do? He preached the word. Now, let me illustrate that for you. Here's the centurion. The centurion says, I got a sick servant. You can change everything. You can heal him and deliver him. Jesus said, I will do it. And then he said, now listen, you are who you say you are. And if you are who you say, and I believe you are, you have authority over this and you don't have to come to my house to do it. Just your word is the same as you walking into the room. Hey, hey. Hey, you know, when we take the word of God and we speak the word of God, that word brings people into a living encounter with the living Christ. They are brought face to face. They have an encounter with Jesus himself. No, really, settle down. It's a true story. When EBI, that's Elam Bible Institute's where I went to school. And one time I was asked to speak and minister in chapel. And when I got up and went up to speak, I saw this plaque right there on the pulpit. And you know what the plaque said? It said this. It said, sir, we would see Jesus, John 12:21. And right away, I was struck by that. I actually stepped back. Oh, my goodness. They're expecting to see Jesus. Because when you preach the anointed word and you declare that word under that anointing, they will see Jesus. Jesus preached the word. You're going to have the word. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, the house of God is a place where people bring friends. Amen. How many are here because a friend brought you? How many have a friend? We're going to have special prayer for friends. Amen. You know, thankfully, here's a guy who was a paralytic. So a paralytic, he's on this mat. That's his life, on this mat. But thank God, when you're a paralytic, you can't go anywhere unless somebody helps you. And thank God this paralytic had friends. Because in that culture, they believed if you're under that kind of condition, you deserve that. If you're under that kind of condition, you have done something wrong. Sometimes even today, people think if something's happening wrong to you, it's because there's sin in your life, brother. It's because you're a loser. Or someone in your family did something bad and you deserve that. So we avoid them. We don't even want to get involved in their lives because you deserve what's going on. But thank God he got four friends who said rubbish, and they picked up the mat and they said, you know what, we're going to get you to Jesus. At least three or four people are going to get them to Jesus, right? So he deserved what he was experiencing. Sadly, listen now, sadly, brokenness causes isolation and avoidance. Brokenness can cause you to withdraw, and brokenness, when a life is broken, sometimes we just kind of go, you know, I'm going to leave them alone. That's kind of messy. I don't want to enter into somebody else's mess, right? I mean, sometimes just like, maybe let that mess do its work in their life and maybe they'll turn around. But honestly, they've been behaving like an idiot for a while. And, you know, that's what you get for being a, you know. So they feel terrible and then we avoid them. And that's awful. I mean, there's people out there right now who need somebody to get involved in their life. They need somebody to check into their world. I got a mat. I spent a lot of time trying to find a mat. But well, there's a mat, all right? It's some kind of a mat. But look, he wasn't lying on a mat. He was living on a mat. He wasn't lying on a mat. He was living on a mat 24/7. He didn't get food unless somebody brought it to him. I don't know what he did with those biological functions. I don't want to happen. It could have been a smelly mess. You couldn't change your own clothes. You couldn't go down to the Gap when stuff was on sale and get a new t-shirt. I mean, this wasn't somebody on a mat. This was somebody living. This was home on this mat. 24/7 on the mat. Let me say this. Everyone has a mat. You might not be a paralytic where it's so obvious that you're on a mat, but trust me, everybody got a mat. I know somebody here is married to Matt. Anyway, so that's another story. You got a mat. I got a mat. We all got stuff 24/7 we're laying on. And we're stuck there. Some people got addictions. Some people got brokenness. Some people got self-loathing. Some people got anxiety. Some people got a big ego. Some people too proud to, you know, to even talk to. But we all got mats. We all got mats. And you know what? People know you're mad. They know that, Matt. You know, sometimes somebody's got to step close enough to grab us and help me and pick up my mat and get involved in my life. We all got mats. I mean, listen, ask you another question. Whose mat do you carry? Whose mat do you carry? Whose world are you stepping into right now? And there's real genuine brokenness there, and you know it is, but you've intentionally moved closer to them to grab the mat and say, look, man, I'm going to join with you right now. I'm going to help you. Another one, who's carrying your mat? Who's carrying you right now? I know, thank God, my wife carries my mat a lot. I'd have quit on life a long time ago if God didn't bless me with such an amazing wife. It's been so many times that she stepped in and said, man, I got you. Everywhere you go, it may not be as obvious, but there's people got something that they're living in. They got a condition. They got a mat that 24/7 is affecting the world, affecting their life. And you know what? Nothing is going to change in a lot of those people's lives unless somebody comes along and says, let me partner with you. Let me align myself with you. And you don't have to tell them, you know, you got a problem, so I'm going to help you. No, you just step in. You just love. You just bless. You don't tell them, you know what's wrong with you, eh? No, you just come alongside and you love and you embrace and you care for. But that's what we do at Impact Church. I'm here today because someone picked up the corner of my mat. I've told you several times. If I haven't, you'll hear it someday. But I mean, I successfully sinned really good. I successfully screwed up my lives many, many times. But you know, people stepped in. Remember my cousin, Pam and Tim, they stepped into my life. And they intentionally tried to fill up my days and fill up my nights. They knew that I was having a hard time and I was doing substances and stuff. And so Tim just decided that he was constantly every day going to invite me to go to do stuff. Come on over to my place for dinner. What do you want to do? Let's go see this. I heard Bob Dylan's in town. Let's get some tickets. Let's go see him. Hey, do you want to go to the beach? We're going to the beach. And they just, every day they were telling me what I'm doing with my life. But they stepped into my life because they knew they didn't want me to be alone and waste my time on that stuff. And so they stepped into my life. I've had times where we were ready to quit ministry. Cheryl and I were ready to quit, packed, ready to go. And somebody walked into my life and he said, that's rubbish. There's a call on your life. And they stepped in. And like for 8 or 10 years, those people stayed so involved in my life. And they believed in me more than I believed in me. And they poured into my life. And they continued to pour into my life. And if they didn't step in, I would not be here today. But somebody stepped into my life and they grabbed a corner and said, I'm going to help you. And I mean, people mentor me, people care for me, people courageous enough to step in when I'm getting too far along in my own stuff and say, Carl, what are you doing? There's people all around. They got mats. And they need people to get involved and plug into their lives. Are you hearing me just a little bit? You can think of people right now. I pray the Holy Spirit bring to your mind right now. There's things, people in your world that you've been thinking about saying, no, that looks tragic. That looks really terrible. Well, you know, if it looks that bad, maybe you should do something about it. I mean, if there's some kind of concern or something you see, don't walk in and say, hey, let me turn your life around. Just love them. Be there for them. Walk with them. Help them. Thank you, Pastor. People saw God's purpose in my life. Carried me. Go on in the chapter. You ready? And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through and they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying, Jesus saw their faith. Now, Impact Church is a place where faith gets expressed. Impact Church, we are a faith gang whose faith has gone viral, and we believe everything that Jesus said, and we want to see it manifest. So, I mean, faith is expressed in Impact Church. We believe that. I just know if I remove the barriers to getting people into this house, they will experience breakthroughs, and then we'd be willing. Who'd be willing to go to extremes? I mean, extremes. I mean, look at this picture. Look at this. Look at this picture. You know, Jesus, when he looked up, he said he called it faith. If I'd have seen that at my house, I'd have called the police. Like, imagine you're there, and you got a guest speaker in your home, and this is nice, and all of a sudden, like, what's going on? I mean, you have to understand that these guys, if you're carrying a paralytic, this is dead weight. This is dead weight. And I mean, these four people are carrying that person, but when they get there and it's so packed all around the windows, the doors, you can't even get even close to the building itself. And then you decide, you know what? The only way is to go through the roof. And then you got to push that body. You got to lift that person. All four of you got to imagine the sweat and the difficulty that it took, that they were willing to go to extremes to get this person in front of Jesus. And then when they get up on the roof, they go, oh, this is a deep one. And in that culture, where they were, literally, it would be a roof that was just covered with dirt and full of stuff. It'd be a flat roof, and they literally would have to start punch through there, dig through there, hit through there. And I mean, they didn't care what was going on. They were wrecking somebody's home to get this person to Jesus. What lengths are you going to? What lengths will you go to so that people can encounter Jesus? And we're going to try to go some lengths in the next few weeks. We're going to keep on talking about the house of God. We're going to put tools in your hand. We're going to encourage you. Let's confront any obstacle to people experience the presence of God. So we want to do that. So we want to let our faith go viral. We want to remove every obstacle. Boom, boom, boom. Can you imagine this? You're the paralytic guy. And thank God you got four friends willing to do this. Amen. I mean, thank God for these four guys. But these four guys, they break open the floor. They're looking in. I don't know what Jesus was doing. I don't know if he just ignored it, kept on preaching. Because I think that would be a pretty disturbing event when you're in this place and like dirt. Like, that stuff's got to go somewhere. You got stuff falling on top of people and all around you. I don't know if Jesus paused and waited until they were done. I don't know how he handled the whole thing. All I know was eventually, suddenly, here comes this guy dropping in the room. I mean, imagine if you're that guy and you're laying on the mat. Hey. What's up? Just thought I'd drop in. I mean, man, there's this guy getting dropped down there. Hello. He don't know what's going on, but these guys have an expectation. These guys are believing that this life is going to change. They're looking in. They're dropping him down. They're going, this is amazing. Look what's going to happen. They are expecting something powerful. And then he said to the paralytic, he said, rise up and walk. You're healed in the name of Jesus. That's what he said. You know what Jesus said? He said, your sins are forgiven you. I think the guys have been going, what did he say? Something about sins? Hey, we brought him here to get legs, brought him here to get healed. His sins are forgiven. What'd he say? You know what Jesus said? You know what this whole story is about? It's all about your sins are forgiven. You know what the world needs to hear out there? You know what everybody needs to hear? They need to hear, you're a sinner, you're a wretch, you're a dog, you're living bad. No, they need to hear, your sins are forgiven. That's what they need to hear. That's what they need to hear. Number five, it's a place of good news. God is good. He forgives you. He's not mad at you. He's always been on a loving pursuit of you. Forgiveness is not something God does. Forgiveness is something God has done. Come and behave yourself and God will forgive you. No, here's the good news. God has already forgiven you. Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the whole world. When he stood on the cross, he kept on saying over and over and over again, Father, forgive them. And then he finished up with, it is finished. You're not trying to get forgiven. You might not be forgiven when you do something. It's not about you doing something. I mean, that paralytic guy literally did nothing. He didn't even get himself there. He couldn't even get himself to the meeting. He didn't say a word. He got dropped down in the meeting, and you know what he heard from Jesus? You deserve this. You've probably been a dirty wretch. You're a paralytic because you've probably been a moron and didn't respect your parents. No, that's not what he said. He just went, zoot. Your sins are forgiven you. He didn't pray a prayer. He didn't say anything. He just got dropped in by some friends. And you know what he heard? Your sins are forgiven you. Let all the happy people say amen. Margarita Lansky, she's a well-known secular humanist novelist, died in 1988, but on a television interview early, just before she died, she said this: what I envy most about you Christians, she was an atheist, an avowed atheist, but she said, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. What a horrible thing. She fought against the forgiveness which was freely hers. But forgiveness is really the big deal of this story. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Some of the religious folks, I'm just saying it to you now, and some of the religious people in the room are kind of going, well, you got to do something. I mean, you got to do something to get forgiven. It's not that easy. Like, he doesn't just forgive you. And then if he does forgive you, you got to behave yourself afterwards. I mean, you got to do stuff. Come on, this guy's wonky. He's out of it. I mean, he thinks God just forgives sins. That's it. Yes. And not just that he forgives sins, but your sins are already forgiven. It's not something he's going to do. It's something that is already done. That's really the message of this passage. That's what Jesus, that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what God wants to communicate in this whole historic event. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Now some of the religious people were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning thus in their heart. Isn't that great? Jesus can read your mind. He knows, he perceived, these guys are pondering, their theology's getting a bit messed up right now. So Jesus went, so he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier? Which is easier? Are you ready? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and walk? Jesus is saying they're the same. They're all a part of the atonement. But I've known Shirley for a long time, and I love Shirley. She knows I love her, and she's in that wheelchair. There's been many times we've prayed, felt the anointing, pull her out. We've unstrapped her, pulled her up, raised her up. But you know what? It's really a lot easier for me to say to Shirley right now, your sins are forgiven, than to say, Shirley, get out of that chair now. Now, I'm not saying that to embarrass Shirley or embarrass anybody. I just want to give you an illustration that it's a lot easier right now to say your sins are forgiven. Nobody say, hey man, your sins are forgiven. But if I said, you, rise up and walk. The challenge with that is, if they walk out still crippled, I look like an idiot. Are you guys still here? So it does seem to be easier to say, your sins are forgiven you. It does seem to be like that, but it's a place where religious barriers get exposed, and we want to confront religious barriers. We want to see the goodness of God fully manifest. We want to see it all. So we want to expose that false motives, false beliefs, false systems. You know, what matters most is this. You ready? you're forgiven. That's what Jesus is saying. You know what matters most? You know what matters most is this wonderful truth. You are forgiven. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are forgiven. But listen, let's follow on in the passage, because that's not it. Here's what happens. It says, but that you may know. That you may know. Because I've just said you're forgiven. And I've said there's no difference between saying you're forgiven and pick up your bed and walk. So I want you to know. And what does he want you to know? What does he want you to know? Because I want you to know that your sins are forgiven. Look at that. He says, I want you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Because I want you to know that, I said to the paralytic, he said to the paralytic man, rise up, take up your bed and go. Wow. See, the world out there might be a little bit like this. Like, that's nice, he can forgive your sin, but look at all the brokenness around us. That's nice that he forgives sin, but my life's a mess. That's nice he can forgive sin, but look at all the pain. Look at all the things going on. That might be nice that you say he can forgive sin, and I can't really tangibly, you know, see that necessarily, but I mean, I could see a paralytic walk. To prove that I have the authority to forgive sin, I'm going to tell the paralytic, pick up your bed and walk. Does anybody feel the burn on that just a little? Anybody? You know, we had a testimony on the last ladies' breakfast from Stephanie. What an amazing story. And we got many, many stories like that, many testimonies like that. But Stephanie went through a horrible tragedies, incredible difficulties, and yet she's in her right mind, walking upright, loving Jesus, and totally set free. Because people came alongside of her and grabbed the corner of the mat, stepped into her life. And I'm telling you, that doesn't just happen. That is a miracle. And to prove to you that Jesus forgives sins, Stephanie is sitting right there. Tell you, I'm a miracle. There's no way I should have made it through what I went through. But I made it through because people cared about me. Because they said, your sins are forgiven. And to prove it to you, they got involved and they picked up my mat and they helped me. You know, what we need is we need to see people in this community. We need to see people walking away from here. They came on a mat and they left carrying a mat. And we got to see that. We got to contend for that. We really got to do it. So immediately he arose, took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. So it's a place where the miraculous is in manifestation. We see people carrying what they used to lie on. We see people taking what used to hold them down and was breaking their life and holding them captive, and now they're carrying it and using it as a testimony. So other people say, what are you doing with that mat? Well, let me tell you about how Jesus set me free. We got to have people walking out of here with their mats. We got to have people who came on mats, walking out carrying mats, and manifesting the goodness and the grace of God. Can I get an amen? That word amazed is a word, existe me. It means to throw out of position, to astonish, to throw into wonderment, to be out of one's mind. I tell you, a house of God, a place where God is present, a place where they're going to say, come on everybody, God's in the house. That's going to be a place. It is a place of wonder. It's a place of amazement. It's a place where people get slapped out of the mediocre life and they get brought into and arrested into the glorious wonder of what it is to be a child to God. And that's what we want, fully manifest here in every single way. Amen. So at Impact Church, yes, we're going to carry your mat. At Impact Church, it says do that especially for those in the household of faith. We got to step closer to each other. It says by their love. I had somebody testifying the other night to me. I've never been in a church where the manifestation of care for one another is so evident, so overt, so intentional. And I went, that's awesome. And I appreciate that. But you know, we are being intentional about that. We're intentionally stepping in each other's lives. We're intentionally caring for each other. We're intentionally picking up a corner of the mat and helping people. Go Cowboys. At Impact Church, we carry mats. We do circles and rows. How many are in a row right now? You're all in a row right now. Yeah, I'm in a row. I like the rows, I like the corporate worship, I like all that, but real good formation takes place in circles. And we do small groups. We got 20 different small groups starting this week. And I want everybody to be in a small group. Because you know what? Real formation, real carrying of mats often is hard to do when you're looking at the back of somebody's head. But when you get in a circle with people and you start to rub elbows with them and you talk with each other and you realize, I can help this person. There's something God's done in my life that I can share with them. And you know what? They just said something that really helped me. And you know, you can begin to grow when you get yourself in a circle. And this is really, really important stuff. So I got three things to say to you. Get connected, stay connected, and make connections. Pretty deep, huh? Get connected. Well, I tried it. I tried one of your small groups once. I didn't like it. Well, go to a different one then. But don't quit. I mean, stay connected. And don't be selfish, because you know what? There's something God placed in you that I need. There's something that God's doing in your life that I need you to share with me. You know what? The way we're going to grow is through interactions with one another. Stay connected. Sometimes it gets hard. Well, I went, but there was a person there that annoyed me. Good. See, it's the annoying stuff that makes you grow up. Carry their mat. Make connections. Bring people to small groups. Turn to somebody now and say, I'm going to go to a small group. You're coming with me. No, really, quit staring at me. Turn to the person with you and say, I'm going to go to a small group. You're coming with me. You know, if you're serious about carrying mats, you're going to do it. You can't even carry mats with the people you're with on Sunday. We want to carry mats. We want to transform our community. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, stand up.